Good evening, folks, to Insatiable Banalities number 59. It's Tuesday, the 14th of November. We have a packed house here, and we have a very special guest here. We have six people in the room, besides the normal cast, from GILF. Welcome, girls.
Hello.
Now, GILF is spelled G-I-L-F. It's an acronym. Is that the correct word?
That's correct.
And it stands for...
God, I love food.
No. Right. No.
Girls and microflares.
Yeah.
Getting mine.
A variety of different things, depending on who you are.
Depending on if you're talking to your mother or...
That's right.
Do your mums believe that?
No, mine doesn't, not at all.
Right.
Mine makes sure that I directed it to the website with the .au.
That's the clean one, isn't it?
Clean side, right. Dirty side.
Where's the dirty side?
I can't reveal that information.
Mum might be listening.
Google is our friend.
My mother thought it was hilarious.
All right, now, GILF, you're a Canberra band. Are we right in saying you're a Canberra's only girl band?
All girl
band.
I do believe that there's one other all-girl band out there, but I don't think they're getting many gigs.
Is that like a three-piece, though?
Yeah. It may be a three-piece, I don't know.
Are there any with your number of players?
That should give us some encouragement.
No, absolutely not. And I think it's probably fair to say that we're the only all-girl band that play our style of music.
Yeah.
Okay, which is?
Rock and roots. So, it's a bit of crossover.
Rock and roots. Acoustic guitars. No.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes it gets fairly heavy. We get into some really alternate heavy rock as well. Yeah. We play a really eclectic mix of music, and probably because we each have very diverse tastes and very different tastes. So, in order for everyone to contribute and play what they want to play, we end up with a really crazy set list.
Mm-hmm. Now that was Kaz speaking, and you're down here as the guitarist and songwriter. So you'd have a fair bit of say in what style of music, do you think, or have you got an extensive repertoire and these girls have just chosen the ones they like, or do you write for their tastes, or do you come along with an idea and then let them fuck around with it until they're happy?
Probably a combination, I suppose. I mean, we do a mixture of covers and original, so as far as the original material goes, then yes, it's probably by nature of the fact that I do write it has my stamp on it.
But you don't sing it?
No. And there's good reasons for that.
Do you write all the words?
Write all the words and write a really awful melody line, and it's a testament to the girls that they can actually fish out what I hear in my head, because it sure as hell doesn't come out of my mouth.
There is one good song that you sing.
Play one?
No.
You know that song?
No, I can't sing that song.
I sing good, I sing nice.
People don't tell me because they're jealous. People don't tell me because they're jealous. Yeah. That's going to be the ghost track.
Now, you guys have recorded some music. Is it an album as such, or a demo, or what have we got here?
At the moment, we've got a demo, but the aim is later this year, when we've got a bit more original music under our belts, to go out and record an album. So at the moment, we're kicking about at home, recording some of the songs that we're going to play here tonight down, so that we can put those together, and eventually I guess we'll take everything that we've got so far, including the demo that's already been recorded and the new stuff, and go somewhere and get it recorded and produced, you know, to a better standard.
Well, perhaps we could have a listen to a bit of some GILF rock and roll. So shall we listen to a CD song first?
Awesome.
And do you have a preference?
What order does it go in?
Stop a while.
That would be.
We should have sorted it.
Yeah. Oh, we go the first track, Stop a While, because we've been playing that probably the longest, which is pretty poignant.
This one actually did really well on Triple J Unearthed as well.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Got in the Roots.
Got
section?
To number 5 on the Roots chart.
It's number 4.
Or 4, was it?
Yeah, oh,
okay. And
44 overall.
Which is
great. That's very good.
Yeah, we're stoked.
Yeah.
And then Swallow Dived.
Yeah,
pretty much.
There's about 13,000 songs up on the Triple J website.
It's all novelty value, though, isn't it? It's the first couple of weeks. And
there's some fantastic music out there. I think it's been such a great thing to get some unsigned Aussie bands heard. I mean, you should troll through there. There's some fantastic stuff out there.
And a great coup for another Canberra band, Young and Restless. Podcast alumni who did win the home bake thingy. They'll get to play at about 9 o'clock in the morning at home bake.
At least they'll wake people up. They'll remember them.
That's right.
Hey, my mate, Daddy Kicks Out. Got my Daddy Kicks. That's one of their songs.
Yeah. But I think your version has a certain je ne sais quoi to it.
Yeah. I might do a cover.
People don't tell me kiss the children.
Sorry, what was the name of that song again?
The one that's coming up now is Stop a While. Yeah.
Stop a While, let's hear it.
Can you see the blood on the road as you're passing by? Can you see it and stain across the sky? Is that your hand on the trigger? Is that your hand on the gun? Is that your wife beside you? Is that your lonely son? Hey, stop. What it is you've done. Well, tell me, who do you think you are? To shine poverty from your shiny car? Is that your idea of the tragedy? Is that your idea of mine? Cause I can tell you, I can tell that it's sure not mine. And I am prepared to fight. Yes, we are prepared to fight. Well, I'm swimming out into the southern ocean, and the limestone cliffs are crowding over. And I can't see those veins and lucid and wide above.
Lucid and wide above.
And I can feel those ochre hands reaching down, reaching down. Is that your hand on the trigger? Is that your hand on the gun? Why don't you stand up like a man and look at what you've done?
Stop a
while. That's professionally tonight. And apparently there's a story behind what prompted you to write that?
Yeah, I guess it's a story of sorts. I grew up in Ceduna, which is right on the edge of the Great Australian Bight. And
is that actually in South Australia?
Yeah. It's about 8 hours drive west of Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
So, jeez. Yeah. In the middle of...
What's the nearest town? How far away is it? How many people live there?
Well, the closest bigger centre, I suppose, would be Port Augusta or Port Lincoln, depending which way you cut across. And they're about four or 5 hours away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was an amazing place to grow up. And just down the road from Ceduna is an Aboriginal community called Yallada. And Yallada is where a lot of the Indigenous crew were forcibly removed during the nuclear testing at Maralinga.
Mm-hmm. And so they went from Maralinga, and that was where they were given some space to go and sit.
Yeah, correct. Right. Correct. And there's another one not far out of Ceduna called Kanibba, and there's some great, great bands, that Indigenous bands from around there, Coloured Stone, and some really awesome muso. So I was lucky as a kid growing up sort of on the back of that sort of music. And one of my family worked out at Yalada, and I used to go out there quite a bit and spend a lot of time out there. And I went out there on a uni holiday, and it's just, to you know, it's at total abject poverty, I suppose, and such a contradiction between what's 5Ks off the highway and everyone driving past and not actually seeing what it is that happens out there and what goes on and how it all unfolds. So Stuff a While, I suppose, was my sort of comment and my protest about that condition.
About the highway culture?
About the highway culture, about the guys that would come down in their hire cars into Yalada itself, and they would be funding administrators and you know, other sort of, dare I say it, government workers, who would come and look and then drive away and go home and talk about how awful it was and how this it was and how that it was, and not live it and not have any real idea of what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, growing up here in Canberra, I was completely ignorant of the fact that, like, just about, well, most little country towns, maybe not most, but have got a Aboriginal sort of ghetto outside of town that anyone driving through is never going to see, you know.
If they don't stop.
And there's ghettos of all types, which is what I learnt when I left Sydney. It's not isolated to Indigenous by any stretch. There's ghettos of people with the same colour skin as me and you and every other colour that you can imagine.
200 metres from here.
It's certainly not isolated, but that was what I guess was my first experience of it, and a pretty strong one.
But in all of that poverty, was it? Did you stop a while? Did you see through that? Is there anything good going on in these communities?
Absolutely, yeah. For sure, 100%. I mean, my first band, when I was 14, we had this amazing guy, Charlie, played drums. He was from out Yalada way, and just top bloke. And there's a lot of people out there making really positive movements, but there's also a lot of condescension from people that don't really have an understanding of what it is that's happening out there. And sometimes it's well-meaning, but it's equally as condescending as sometimes when it's not.
You can just see how a middle-class public servant from Canberra who went to a situation like that just might not be at all prepared to connect with the people to understand what's happening.
We've spoken about that a lot, Cass and I. I mean, we live in the same house, and I'm the middle-class public servant, and meeting someone like Cass has been a real eye-opener, because I just, like, I'm naive. I'm positively naive. I mean that in that everything I think about the world is positive. Like, I always think there's hope and that I can help. But I've never seen what she talks about.
And I've never lived it either, I should make that clear too. I've only been really an observer. So to move into that next sphere of actually living it and to cross the next boundary would just be amazing, I think. I mean, as a gay woman, you walk through life knowing what it's like to live on the boundaries, and you get a bit of a taste of it.
Yeah.
But it's not immediately obvious.
No, it's not immediately obvious. That's right. It was when I had a shaved head and a nose piercing and I'd walk down the streets of Lismore and people would call out Leso whatever.
Really? Because, I mean, that's...
Anyone could have that.
I was going to say, it's kind of a fashion item these days, isn't it?
Well, I thought it looked pretty hot, but... No, I lost a bet. I have to be honest, I did lose a bet.
So, could we assume then that social justice is a bit of a strong thread running through the songs and the band, and you know, supporting the outsider?
Is that a question?
Yeah. Can we assume that?
Yeah, it's a big question with a yes or no answer. We're going to expand.
I think that we are a group of five people who are individuals. Sometimes our music is protest music, sometimes it's music about love, just like every other Bastard Rats. Yeah. We're not out on a mission, but I guess if we do have a mission, it's to be comfortable in who we are and where we come from and what we all believe in.
And I think to raise the profile of women in the music industry, I think, is an underlying thing, because we've always discussed it amongst ourselves and always wanted to give opportunities to soundies or whatever that are women that are trying to move through the field, because it does tend to be a very, very male-dominated.
It's something we've been very, very conscious of as we've been doing these 50-odd podcasts that we... Mostly it's early 20s boys, and you know, they're great fun, sit around, play, have a few beers, but it's
It's a bit monotonous after a while.
A little bit monotonous, and even though we've been trying very hard to get more women into the podcast, we haven't had a great deal of success in getting anything like balance anyway.
And the search for female musos or confident female music industry people.
Confidence is the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, because I remember when we were first putting the band together and we went out and we were actually thinking about having six people in the band, so a rhythm guitarist and a lead guitarist. And we put the search out for a rhythm, an extra rhythm or lead guitarist, and we just could not find any women. No women, you know.
They're all sitting at home playing, though.
Probably like demons, but they're not confident enough to step up and have a go.
Well, we got responses from what I can only presume is the stereotype female guitarist who has an acoustic guitar but doesn't own an amp. You know, like that Joni Mitchell concept of what of what a female guitarist should be.
And there are very limited models to sort of follow.
That's right, and there's no trailblazers out there.
Well, your rhythm guitar doesn't trailblaze that much.
Well, lead, I was thinking. Specifically, but amazing singer-songwriters, amazing songwriters, amazing pianists. But when you move outside of that more traditional realm, you don't see chicks up there doing cock rock moves. You don't see them playing with their teeth with their guitars over their back of their head smashing shit up.
And you know what we do?
When Cass I'm looking forward to seeing that.
With Nigel's guitar.
Is that what you do? Are you heading towards there, sort of wanting to do that?
I'm heading towards a point where I have the confidence to express myself however the hell I want to.
That sounds nice. Yeah.
And when any of the girls rock out, the crowd just is dying for that. Like, the crowd is dying to see women absolutely rock out and just lose their inhibition.
You don't find that at all patronising?
No.
Okay.
Can we get to that? Because, like, let's just say if you have a social justice centre, sort of slightly, some members of the band are... lesbian and queer, and you have played at Reclaim the Night and Tilly's, and you sort of have a ready-made audience in a way. Do you know, like, you can feed into various social cultural networks that are already established, and they will all say, hey, come and see this band, they're all girls, and, you know,
a bit like the Christian rock, I guess.
God damn
it. I'm glad you got that comparison on record, man. I think will be paralleled with
I think with the Canberra scene in particular, there hasn't really been much around for gay and lesbians in terms of anything outside of nightclubs. To an extent, I'm not going to say which one, but... you know, to an extent, I guess, the band offers something different for people who are in those scenes. And, you know, it's in a way, our band has created almost a different subculture.
A counterculture.
It is. Yeah. It's got that little outlet with lesbians who are like, oh, thank God I can go to a pub without being...
And it's not just lesbians. It's people of all walks of life. The boys are coming.
But, how do gay guys relate?
About relation, it's about excellent music.
Mm-hmm. So that's aiming for outside of just the queer culture then?
We gig in places that most queer people probably wouldn't be gay.
Wani Asa Tavern.
I'm not naming venues, and Wani Asa is certainly not the worst, without a doubt.
Well, where is the worst?
Well, you guys, hang on, you guys are off to... You're off to Cowra.
Just journalist.
You're off to Cowra and...
There's no surprises. Yeah.
But people come. That's not something... Mm-hmm. We can't drag people through the door of venues like that. Yes, we've been fortunate enough to play at the Tillys. Yes, we're getting... more gigs in more, respectable, in inverted commas, venues. But people are coming no matter where the hell we play. And it is because it's an alternative to the nightclub scene.
And I think our proudest point is that even members of the gay community that follow the band, who without a doubt are some of our most loyal members, like fans of the band, have come up to us and said, I came to see you on the first night, not because you're a gay band, because, you know, you were women. Yeah. And now I keep coming back because you're a good band.
Yeah.
And that was
sort of my question. Yeah. Do you sort of, it was almost like what he said, bit patronised, or is it just the audience loving you because of the music or because of your attitude or other things?
No, that's exactly
it. I'll tell you something. As a girl who plays drums, it's really hard to get any guy to not come up and go,
Well, I play drums. I've been playing for 5 years, you sweet little thing. You should listen to me. Like, if you get a guy, and it happens, and we all get it, Cass gets the blokes, like, come out of nowhere. I get it. Lauren gets it because of the bass. Mm-hmm. It's all very male-dominated instruments.
Is that just them trying to start conversation, though?
Probably.
Probably half and half. But always in wankers.
Do you ever just tell them to fuck off?
No, wouldn't do that. He's like, that's nice to you. But no, they come up now and they say, no, that was really good and whatever. Like, I actually take from, because guys generally are quite patronising in most respects.
We can't help it.
have we been patronising?
Not generalising against male.
No.
Just the patronising one.
Musically, it can be, and we get a lot of great feedback, so...
You
should,
yeah,
you do.
Right.
Yeah, it's good.
We must continue that conversation. It's good. But can we have a song now? Mm-hmm. We're going to try a live song in here. It's going to be...
I would say boys always do that.
Yeah, there's always these always.
I did linguistics at university. I did gender differences. That's what men do. They go, let me tell you about that.
Yes. Let me tell you about when I studied German in year 8. I just remember 3 or 4 words. Perhaps
you
can help you.
So do a lot of women, and it's bloody scary.
I saw you sitting in the crowded room so long. All the light that was in you is gone. It's been a long, long time since we last crossed.
Don't know where you're going,
Okay, so that was So Alone. And does anybody have anything to say?
Well, I just wanted to know, how did you guys get together as a band? Having noted the shyness of female musicians, how did you get it all together and get up there on stage?
Well, Cass and I live together over in Dahood on the south side.
Dahood?
Yeah.
Mm.
Wanyasa.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Then step off.
Was that just a random occurrence, like...
It was a pretty random occurrence. We've been living together for about 2 years, but yeah, Cass got booted out of home and I took her in.
I came down here to... I've been in Sydney for the 2 years prior to coming here, and I was seeing somebody down here, and it's a very long story. But to cut it short, I got thrown out after about 6 weeks of arriving.
So it was one of those relationships that worked better at a distance.
Yeah, I can't tell you. I mean, I should have known. I mean, it was doomed from the get-go.
Right.
She was known around the traps as the evil one, and I can say that because she's overseas for the next 2 years.
And what, but you didn't know that.
Podcast.
No,
anyway.
I found out later.
So these guys all watched you come in as the evil one's new girlfriend.
Well, not quite.
No.
It's a very long and twisted story that I don't think this is the forum to go into. But well,
we met online, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. But that was we're internet geek friends.
PM's 11 officially in person. And we got to chatting after I'd been thrown out and Kelly had taken me in off the streets of Canberra. About the fact that I played a little bit of guitar. Mm-hmm. And I
thought you were going to say cricket.
Well, I'm pretty handy with a bat.
Really?
If you're running, and I've got one. But I hadn't picked up a guitar for about 3 years. I had completely not played any music for ages. And I said to Kelly, I'll play a little bit of guitar. And she said, well, I sing a bit. And then I heard her sing and went, a bit.
That's not how it went. You picked up my guitar and I went, oh my God, you can play.
And I couldn't.
So there was a bit of a mutual admiration thing going on between the two of you.
That wore off.
Right. Okay.
Mm.
And how did you rope in the others then?
Well, Lou's my big sister.
Right.
And Laura and Lou and I have known each other since we were little kids. And when
in Canberra.
Yep.
Right.
Did you say let's start a band at some point in that childhood experience?
It was pretty funny because when Cass and I first realised that we were both musos and into music and could probably, you know, get something going, we raised the prospect with Frame, and Frame said, oh, I play drums. Because we were talking about, you know, getting on new musicians in the band, and we went, no way. She was like, yeah, I sold my kid ages ago for some cash, and we said, are you keen? And she went, yep, give me a week, I'll get a kit.
I just say, this is a new story to me. So not what I thought.
So the manager is now learning what happened.
Within a week, Frame literally went out and got a kit, and we started playing just the three of us, and put the situation to Lou, who was keen to do vocals, because we've worked together in the music industry for many, many years.
You guys sound so good together.
Mm. It's sister harmony. Works. Sister harmony is always
there. It's like you're related.
And not in the Tasmanian sense.
Please continue.
And then I guess when we had the cool group of four, and we played together for about 3 months, I reckon. And then we during that time we put out an ad for bass guitarists and or rhythm guitarists and or lead guitarists, and we had no hits on leads, no hits on rhythm, and we had a few hits on bass. And
basically one.
Yeah.
Quite Loz was the only one that actually replied.
One many times. Loz's girlfriend actually applied. And Loz came for the audition, and she was a gun, and...
And to her credit,
I remember that.
I'm not okay with the protocols of auditioning for a band, but Lauren actually emailed us back and said, oh, well, what are we going to play? And we all went, oh, we can't play anything. What are we going to play? And we wrote back and said, oh, we're going to do X, Y, Z, and she rocked up and she'd learned how to play X, Y, Z.
Yeah, Temple Pilots.
That is a good song,
though. That I spent.
Plush.
Plush. Yeah,
Plush.
Yeah.
That's awesome cool bass song. Line, yeah. And we've never played it since. I learned
it. You know,
I love bass
Yeah. And I give that a 1 to 2 because this was in, we were in Dahood, we were at the house in Dahood, in Wanyasa, all on the front step drinking beer and smoking ciggies because we were all smoking at that
Washing
stage.
Washing is inside. We're
and
like,
no, she rocked up in the driveway and she must have thought,
I had a moment on the way down going,
where am I going? I'm on my own. I'm crazy. I don't know who the heck's going to be down there.
And she still regrets it.
And yeah.
And then she went to the toilet and we're all out in the front porch, you know, desperately gasping, going, our diaries going.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? What do you reckon? What do you reckon?
So they picked the bass player without.
She's good.
The other half of the rhythm section. That's
Well, we're not Fleetwood Mac, so.
What? Good time.
We did record it for you though. We did go, hey, have a listen. She's
really That's good. True.
Did they give you the power of veto?
We should play that again.
The pirate lost the
tapes. We'll put it on the pod.
It'd be hilarious.
Alright, well, listen, folks, I think we should go to another song. And we're going to go to a song off that CD, being Attitude.
Yeah, this one's got blue language.
Blue language. Okay,
well, we already have an explicit language tag on this podcast.
Yeah. You can even say poop. And gosh.
Poop.
And darn.
No.
Oh my god, it's our flatmate. Okay, Attitude. Recording, or is that you said you were doing some home recording, but did you record that at home?
That one was actually recorded at a place here in Canberra that does budget recordings, but great for bands in their early stages, called Shoestring.
Shoestring.
Yep, in Canberra. Right, and it's a great place to start, certainly.
Mm.
Good for demos.
Yeah.
Oh, give them a plug, why don't you? What about your studio, Jim Booth? Why don't you give that a plug?
We'll talk about that. No, actually, you guys should come and check out my studio.
All the listeners should come and check out Jim's studio as well.
That's right. Actually, this isn't what it is. It's in Chapman, an equally salubrious suburb.
It's in a bit of Chapman that didn't burn down a few years ago.
But it is Southside, so yeah, it's close to you guys. So if you come and think about it, maybe, we'll talk about it later.
We're talking about Southside here. There's a bit of... A lot of our listeners may not know that there's a fair bit of...
The world is
tribal blind. Division in Canberra,
I was an Ainsley girl for many years.
Oh, sweetie.
I knew it!
Yeah, you can tell, you can still march in.
But after 12 months of travelling back and forth to Wanneyasa three times a week, moved to Pierce.
Why can you get them to move to civilization?
Pierce is the Ainsley of the South.
I had that sort of attitude in Sydney when I came from the western suburbs. Why can't you? I don't go that far for my holidays.
I said that about my parents too. Why can't we move to Istanbul?
Yeah. To be quite honest though, try finding a house that you can set up a 5-piece full band in with neighbours that don't open your window.
It's a house with a shed and lots of egg cartons, right?
Oh, there's no shed.
Especially in Kelly and Cass's living room that we practice.
Those houses were built in the 70s in those outer suburbs inner west.
Pornographic, man.
In Chapman, where my studio is, my guy pays $320 a week for a mansion. Mm. Man, it's got 5 bedrooms and a huge rumpus
room. But if I live in Fisher and I pay $340 and it's not a mansion.
You just want to rent his house, though. You don't want to record there.
No. It was fairly cute. We live in a cul-de-sac. You know, those places they advertise as being quiet and secluded. And the lady down the end of the
street, ex-murderers.
About 5 houses down, actually ran into Kel out the front one day and said, "You know, your band is getting so much better." And we're like, "Yes!" And then our next door neighbours have bitched and moaned about how their windows vibrate when Loz turns her bass amp up too much.
Their actual words were, "We can't hear the TV when the bass amp's up." So
Stick it in the window joint, it'll stop rattling.
But we have been talking about dropping, doing a letterbox drop and just putting a little flyer in everyone's.
Because if you just invite them to do a backyard gig once a year and invite them.
Invite them.
With a couple of kegs.
A demo and a stubby cooler, I reckon.
And actually, another plug for me.
I wonder what the insurance things would be like, because that would be so cool to do a front yard gig. It would be great.
Jam out the whole
neighborhood.
You can do it. The street parties.
Yeah.
You can get the urban
services. There's a whole government department
to block off your street. And you can have a party.
Come on down, what date?
Wouldn't that be cooler? In front of our house.
Does the whole street have to agree?
Yes.
We're screwed. The next door neighbour, he's not going to agree.
Oh, he would.
We could get him out.
Perhaps he'll be away at some point. Or dead.
Thanks for having a party. Everybody else is
sending
you.
Very sweet.
While we're taping, just so I can have it as a sort of legal contract, I was going to ask you girls, would you play in my backyard?
Maybe.
Have you seen it? It's quite big.
I do these gigs once a month.
His backyard bacchanalia.
Backyard bacchanalia. Oh, and it's a big stage. It's absolutely
only
gorgeous.
Only if you go topless.
I will.
And dance up the front with
I'll go
bombs.
Bottom with
you. Have you seen him wear a dress and all me?
I have it.
We'll show you the pictures. All right, done.
I reckon.
Yeah, let's do it.
Here's a prize not winning drag act.
Now that you've agreed to that and I've got it on tape, that's good. Could you now pretend to just start playing a song? And if it could be Paper Boats, that'd be good too.
All right, here we go.
Shipwrecked on the wrong side of the world. the feeling of getting dragged down deep. She loved the feeling of losing her feet. That little pair of bumbles carried her far. That little paper bowl, she sailed by the stars, but still she got.
Paper boat.
Woo!
We loved it. Can you remember it, really, Gertie?
I can.
Because we've gone all over the place in time. We've been shifting forwards and backwards and gone.
Yeah, it's like verily we are time travelers.
Yeah. What's the fourth line, Gertie?
You spoke.
or indeed anyone in the band.
I'm sure it had paper boat in it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Now, we do have a banality we wanted to get to.
Please.
At some point. Has anyone in the room ever heard of the inverted Jenny?
Yes. I've had the inverted Jenny several times.
I didn't like it.
I gave myself an inverted Jenny, but it wasn't what I was cracking up to be.
The inverted Jenny to non-perverts is a stamp produced in the US in 1918.
Oh, who is snorting there? We had a snort. Oh, who
is Don't worry, we can edit that out. Snort away. There's the mic. Go.
Right, peeking all over.
Because flatly is a
flattery. Yes. It's disgusting.
It is. The inverted Jenny is a US postage stamp minted in 1918, which has a biplane upside down in a regular stamp.
Yes.
It was a 24-cent stamp, and the ones that's upside down, they've only discovered about 100 of them, and they're worth about $500,000 each.
Shit. Mm.
Now,
I've heard of that.
In the US midterm elections that have just been held, a postal vote came in where someone had put one of the most expensive stamps
oh,
in the
no,
world,
you're joking.
Seriously, onto an envelope, and along with a number of similarly old and very valuable stamps, and posted their vote in. And Broward County in Florida, where else, has received this vote, and to make matters worse, there was no proof of identity in it, so not only can they not return the stamps, the vote didn't count either.
Which party were they voting for?
Yeah.
Some
little old
lady.
They don't
really stamp collecting party.
But I bet it was Bush's.
She had it in a box.
It was Bush.
I think Bush would put a return address on it.
Yeah.
Where's those cute stamps?
As far as there's plenty of stupid Democrat supporters.
I have to say, that reminds me of a joke. Why did they take the Queen's fanny off the stamp?
Why?
Would you lick it?
The Queen's fanny.
Morgan!
as her ass.
Anyway, look, can I just say, I totally haven't seen one of those stamps. I think the amazing thing is that anyone even noticed. There must have been hundreds and hundreds of these things.
There's some real dorks in the Electoral College there looking at the fucking...
Hey,
headlights.
George!
Yeah, that's my favourite, that one right there! It's $5 million!
Hang on, I mean, down to the... it's at county level, but to be fair, I mean, it's an old stamp, and I think it would be the old stamps that have first looked at going, my God, and especially, it was like 80 cents they had to make up to get the vote in, so it was this weird collection of small denomination stamps.
Do you think Australians would vote if it cost 80 cents?
No way.
We wouldn't have John Howard as our Prime Minister. We wouldn't have anyone. It would
just be postage paid.
Just be general anarchy. It'd be fine. I think I'd prefer that.
I just would like to say, as a piece of advice, if you've just lost someone you love and you've got their stamp collection and you need to send a letter, get the stamp collection valued first before you try and use the stamps to send your mail.
Yes, yeah.
Is the big advice.
It's thanks for that this is community the service there, John. I'm sure there's lots of outsider sufferers who are listening to the podcast.
They might have been filthy rich anyway.
No one is so filthy rich that they give away a $500,000.
I still think they're a bush voter, without doubt.
I hope to hear more about this exciting stamp story. A new level of darkness. Thank you, John Boy. I'm impressed with that.
I think I've squeezed the lemon on that one.
You squeezed my story about beer out for the stamp story.
Well, tell your story about beer then.
I can't read it. It's over there somewhere.
It was boring.
I haven't read it yet anyway.
It was wrong.
It was boring. So I didn't read it.
All right, well, folks, we are running out of time and we do have two songs to fit in, so I should guess we go to another song, it being Blue.
Woo-hoo!
Just quickly, anything to say about Blue?
It rocks!
One of the most popular songs that we play at gigs.
Excellent.
Electric.
Electric, okay. Here we go.
Sweet.
that was Gilf with Blue, and now we're going to ask the obligatory band question, what are your influences? Now, girl band, Indigo Girls, Melissa Etheridge.
And we don't mean
Melissa Etheridge.
Who?
Musical influences.
Why don't we go around the table? Sister. Framey?
Pink, Madonna, Britney.
You're a pop girl.
With her.
She's a pop girl.
She's a pop girl. Okay, moving on.
Well, I'm not in the band, so why don't you?
Actually, I'd love to hear what influence you.
I don't have no. Yeah. Just so I know
bad bands.
Favorite band of all time, Fleetwood Mac. Heavily influenced by Cat Stevens, PJ Harvey, Arnie DeFranco.
Yeah, cool.
Auntie DeFranco, so...
sacrilege!
That's a bit wordy.
I mean, do you have plans to just keep producing an album with two good songs and a whole bunch of filler on it?
Isn't that what everybody does?
Okay. Move on. Well, she is a songwriter, so, but anyway.
I was going to say PJ Harvey, definitely. Also get into a bit of Powderfinger, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very camera.
No earlier influences?
Mm-hmm. Bit of Hole.
Louise was a massive dance music.
I used to be into the dance scene.
Lou was here as the Canberra dance music sort of spread its seed and
refugee.
And grew
back in the early 90s. Yeah.
Lou has some amazing stories about the Canberra dance music scene and its growth.
Warehouse.
We'll have a podcast devoted just to that.
You seriously should, because from a music history point of view, it is amazing. And I'm not from Canberra, and even interested.
So about the music or about the freaky people who used to go and listen to them?
The whole scene, it's just, it's really intriguing. And I don't think it's very often that people get to live through the beginning of something like that. I mean,
Are people like Blake, Byron Budak? Blake Budak, is he in that story?
Is he the owner of a... particular Lent, music store, yes. Yeah, he's involved in that.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'd be interested to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm sure our listeners would too.
One day, me and Cass were sitting outside, after a big night out, and we were talking, and I've just gone to this story, and I ended up talking about the early days and what had happened, and by the end of it, Cass was... talking about how I should write a book. I didn't even think it was a great story, but I think it must have been a pretty good story.
I think we've scaled a new height of postmodernism with a podcast with a story about a story.
I honestly think that's so relevant.
Okay, well, we'll have to say that for another time, because it sounds like a bit too lengthy for this moment. Moving on. Thank you.
Musical influences. When I was a kid, I was big into the skateboarding scene, so I was big into Faith No More and lots of Ska.
Jane's Addiction?
I wasn't into Jane's Addiction, actually. Yeah, I was a lot into Ska, and before that, I was into New Kids on the Block.
Rocket!
That's so silent.
You're so brave.
That's just
so brave.
Just New Kids on the Block for you, Loz.
No. For me, I don't tell my history before Pearl Jam came along. New Kids on the Block may have been involved. There may have been Carly. There may have been Jason. We do not talk about that. But basically, love Pearl Jam. They've been a huge influence in my life for the last 15 years. Went to their concert last Tuesday, and I'm still recovering from that.
I know, dear, they're still alive.
Yeah, they are still alive. Except for those that Jeremy got to. I think also like Cass, Arnie DeFranco and PJ Harvey, and also The Waves.
And dare I say it, but Casey Chambers.
Yes.
Yay!
I was going to ask you before, out in Sydney, did you ever run into the Dead Ringer Band?
Well, the Dead Ringer Band actually gave one of my best mates their first ever recording opportunity. A very talented artist named Jody Martin. And if people haven't heard her stuff, they should check her out. She's a superstar.
She's been playing at Woodford this year.
She played at Blues Fest last year. And I was really my first ever band was with her little sister, Robin.
Are you guys going to Woodford this year?
Louise is.
I am.
The rest of us are scattering to the
How come? Oh, you mean just to attend?
Yes,
to
just
play?
To attend.
Yeah, right.
But next year.
Because backing vocals is hard without
fans.
Oh, she might be in another band. Hey, let's hear how all of those musical influences coalesce in a song called Not the First. Thank you.
black and white, bad and dark. From off your face, you don't get here by accident. No, I got to this place, you're not the first. You won't be the last. You're not the first now, baby. You won't be the last.
Poetry of Rupert Brooke?
No.
Okay, because there were, to me, there were resonances of his stuff. He was one of the last great romantic poets, died of wounds in World War Two, World War One. But
that sounds about it.
Yeah.
Someone beat him to death because he couldn't shut up with his poetry in the trenches.
Have you heard my
favorite
poem?
I didn't know.
Yes. No, I mean, similar sort of stuff about saying, embedded saying. Oh, there'll be more after you.
Yeah. Like more soldiers.
No.
More fucks.
No, more lovers, you know.
Yeah.
You've hit me right now, but...
Mm. It's a really bittersweet song, that one. It's the sort of song that you listen to and you don't even realise that it's... There's really a bit of angst lying behind the words.
Mm.
And
then so
you
pretty.
Sing it really sweet.
Mm.
Yes.
And then when you listen to it again and you listen to the words, you go, hang on a second, it's not the love song I thought it was, but it is at the same time.
Okay, because as a word nerd, I was, picking up on the... the angst in a big way.
But anyway, as a song which supposedly was going to express the way that all of your musical influences coincided, it might not have been exactly great, but I enjoyed it.
But there's plenty of other songs earlier in the podcast.
That's right, which do that. Yeah. And anyway, we have now come to the end. We've got to say goodnight.
Can we have a couple of quick plugs before we do?
Yes, quick plugs.
Our website, www.gilf.com.au.
That's the MotherSafe website.
Is it just
yes.
the other one without
right.
the AU?
Yes.
That's
naughty.
Yes.
Right,
so
no, add the AU. Definitely
safe.
AU.
Mum's safe.
Gilf.com.au.
Oh, my God.
Mum's
doesn't know. Oh, no.
Unless you like your ladies with a little bit of silver lining.
But which site do I already link to on my website?
No,
I know. I can't get out of my head that T-shirt. Silver foxes with silver boxes.
Oh, God. What if you're not silver?
True.
What if you're just bald?
Can you dye yourself grey?
You could. I've never tried.
If you were so inclined.
Anyway, moving on.
Let's move on to the end of this thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we have to say goodnight. Thank you very much, Gilf, for coming in.
Oh, any other plugs? Okay, good night.
On the website is the instructions on how to get to our Triple J Unearthed site where you can download these tracks if you, you know, don't already have them from this podcast.
And vote for you.
And also our gig guide is on the website as well, www.gilf.com.
Where you'll be playing at the Funny House in Tavern.
Was that .au?
And please, if you've heard about us through the Loaded Dog podcast,
yeah,
please come up and say
Loaded
hello.
Dog Riot Act podcast, I'd just like to...
Oh, yes,
Loaded
yes,
Dog
yes,
Riot
yes,
Act
yes,
podcast.
Right.
Please come up and say a big hello, a special hello.
And say whether you heard it from Loaded Dog or the Riot Act.
Yeah.
And then report back to us.
We're doing a survey, actually.
We also specify for, like, Jumbo or Jim Boots Ball.
Give him a $1 discount on a stubby
card.
You'll be able to buy a stubby.
Oh, but not Riot Act. Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, folks, I stopped recording ages ago.
No, I didn't really. Thank you to Nigel and the crew for having
and
us.
Thank
yeah.
you to the audience.
Yeah.
Thank you to the audience yeah. for listening.
You've been listening to Insatiable Banalities, podcast number 59, recorded on Tuesday, the 14th of November, 2006.